If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature. And I'd like to ask you, Sheikh Javid, a question regarding that. Of course, you kindly provide us the answers to these questions of jurisprudence based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. My question, or first question, is regarding tajafi, a kind of half-sitting that some people, people who are offering their prayers, the Muslims who are saying their prayers, do. What is the Islamic law, regarding this kind of sitting?
Well, tajafi means, as you rightly mentioned, it is a half kind of sitting. When, for example, the imam is in the second rak'ah and you are in the first rak'ah, you cannot sit in the same way as the imam or other people who are performing their second rak'ah. So yes, you just sit in between, standing and sitting. Mm-hmm. And so it is recommended that you sit in that posture.
Right.
Okay. And it's not wajib. If you happen to sit down, still your prayers is in order. It's valid. And you can keep doing the jama'at prayer with the imam.
But if you sit in the same way as the imam,
yes,
or the rest of the actually...
Your prayer is not made void.
Uh-huh.
Your prayer is not, it is still valid. And you can keep praying with the imam, okay? Mm. But tajafi is recommended. It's not wajib.
Right, I see. A lady asked us, what is the Islamic law regarding the illicit gains of our husband? We know that, for example, our husband's salary or gains and wages, in fact, come from illicit sources.
Right.
What can we do with that?
That's a very good question. Well, the religious authorities have stated that it is allowed, it is permissible for a woman to receive whatever is given by her husband. And it's not necessary for her to investigate and to see whether the amount given to him was obtained or received from a halal source or not. Because, okay, let's assume that maybe 10% of a man's income is halal, and the rest is maybe haram. Okay, now his wealth is mixed with halal and haram.
Right.
The money given to the wife is halal for her. She doesn't need to check to make sure that the money given to her is halal. Okay, whatever is given by the husband is halal, and this is the opinion of the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei and Grand Ayatollah Sistani. They have said whatever is given by the husband to the wife is halal, and she can use it.
Shastavi, yes. There was an assumption that there is a mixture of halal and haram source,
yes,
in the salary or gain of the husband. But what if the husband's, in fact, main source, or all that the husband actually receives, is from the theft or robbery? It's not mixed with anything else, which we call halal. It's always haram, right?
For the wife, it's permissible to receive and to use whatever is given by her husband. Even though she knows the husband commits theft, she earns haram money, but it's not necessary for her to find out whether the amount given to her is halal or haram.
I see.
Because it's not, she is wajibun nafaqa, and she is entitled to the money given to her. Okay, maybe the amount received by the man, maybe he received from another man that was haram for that man. So how can you find, see, out that, okay, that money was basically haram or halal? Okay,
I see.
Okay. The money is itself not to blame because it's a piece of paper
right.
given to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Shawbit. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back momentarily after this break.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, the host in this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, what is the law or Islamic and Sharia law regarding women's fasting or the wife's fasting without the husband's consent?
If it does not violate the husband's rights, conjugal rights, it's okay. She does not need her husband's permission to observe fast.
Right.
But okay, if the husband wants her to be available
right.
for the husband, for him, and she brings up an excuse telling him that I'm fasting, I cannot be available, that's a different issue. It's not permissible in that case for the wife to observe fast, and she must obtain her husband's permission. So depending on the scenario, depending on the condition, if it does not violate her husband's rights, legal and Sharia rights, then it's okay, she can fast without his permission.
I see. Okay, and what about actually the Sharia law regarding offering the prayer without muhr? We know that the Shia school of thought requires people or Muslims, while they're offering their prayer, they have a piece of actually soil, usually, which we call it, something that they call muhr, right?
Yes,
a piece of clay,
yes.
Right? And then they, when they prostrate, they have to put their forehead on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
During prostration. So if any Muslim does it, or a Shia, for example, does it without the muhr, is his prayer valid?
Right. Well, generally speaking, it is necessary for a duty-bound person who offers prayers to do sajda on anything which is allowable.
Mm-hmm.
And anything which is part of the surface of the earth. It could be a piece of clay, and preferably a piece of clay obtained from the land of Karbala, from the earth surrounding the chamber of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, but okay, anything which is considered to be part of the surface of the earth is allowed for prostration, like leaves of tree, like grass, like stones, like wood. Cement and
even cement,
yes, of course,
which is a processed one.
It's okay, it's part of the first, it's not mineral, okay. But what is forbidden is mineral like gold, like metals, like anything, metals, okay. And then anything which is edible, like eating, you eat it, for example, vegetable which people eat, like chive, like leeks. Like coriander, these are vegetables people eat. Okay?
What about the carpet?
Carpet, it's not permissible. It's not permissible because it's people. It's something people wear. People wear. Okay, if something is edible or wearable, or something which is the mineral.
Carpets usually come from cotton, and it's part of the earth. You said that the leaves and the branches and the trees are okay.
You're right,
the wood is
right.
Okay, but it's a piece. You know, actually, they weave the carpets with or via. It comes from that source, I mean cotton.
If you are certain that it is pure cotton, it's
or
okay.
Or wool.
No, wool is wearable, uh-huh. Okay? Now, for example, sometimes there could be a situation in which you do not find any of these things which are allowable for such that.
Okay.
So in that case, if you have a piece of paper, or you have
a piece of cloth, which is
made of cotton, uh-huh. Pure cotton.
Right.
You can prostrate on it. Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, okay, things which you wear, you cannot do such the one.
Right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad Hossein's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, we know that sometimes when we are offering our prayer, we feel that there is still a little particle of food left in our mouth. What is the Islamic law regarding swallowing that edible particle?
Well, it is not considered to be eating something. Okay, so it is permissible to swallow those small particles of
right.
food or maybe drops of water left in your mouth during mm-hmm. prayer.
Yes.
Because in common sense, it's not considered to be eating food or drinking water.
Yes.
So it's okay and it will not affect your prayers.
Mm-hmm, I see. What is the Islamic law regarding a grandmother giving milk to her grandchild.
Right. It's okay. It's permissible. And because the mahramiya is already there, right?
Right.
So the mother is absent and the child is crying. Okay. The child is hungry.
Right.
So the grandmother can breastfeed the child and it is okay. There's no problem whatsoever with regards to breastfeeding a child. And that's done by the grandmother.
I see. What about the...
Even women who are unrelated to the child,
yes.
They can breastfeed the child.
There's no problem.
No.
They become actually,
Mahram.
Yeah, mahram.
Mahramiya does not take place so easily, you know. If a child is breastfed for 15 consecutive times, mm-hmm. then that... mahramiya is created, uh-huh. established.
And till the end of the life.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just like the child becomes like the woman's child.
Yes.
Okay, the woman's child. And then, of course, hijab is not required because she is the child is the child of that woman. And she is called the foster mother.
Mm.
The foster mother.
Okay.
And, of course, there are other details and conditions which...
Depends on difference in audience.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. That was Sheikh Javid speaking with me and kindly providing answers to my Islamic questions regarding the jurisprudence based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hosseini's program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن غلام